Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is straight from the source, streaming to you on the Heritage Radio Network in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York, this and every Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. My name is Clay Gordon, and in the 20 years that I've been exploring my chocolate life, I visited cacao farms from Bolivia to Belize and beyond and spent time with farmers, cacao merchants, and some of the world's best chocolate makers and confectioners in the U.S. and Europe. Straight from the source is inspired by the people I've met and what they've taught me. My topics this week are inspired by the holidays. From Halloween through Mother's Day and every holiday in between, how do you gift chocolate and how do you store it for consumption over the long term? And in today's first segment, I'm going to talk about how to gift chocolate. That may sound like a little crazy thing. How do you gift chocolate? But it turns out I've met a lot of people who are, in fact, confused by the idea of the best way to go about thinking about buying chocolate at the holidays. And the first thing to consider is that you don't eat the box that the chocolate is in. So the first tendency is to go into a store, look at, ooh, a beautiful box or a box that everybody knows, that gold box, and say, well, because everybody knows it, it must be good. Or if the box is beautiful, what's inside must be good. And I can't tell you the number of times I have been disappointed by opening up a box of chocolate and finding that what's inside doesn't match the visual appeal of the box itself. So unless you're buying for somebody who's very label conscious or is somebody whose taste you're not really certain of, going and buying a known quantity is certainly not a bad way to go about doing things, but it's the easy way. It's the simple way out. It shows that you really haven't thought about the person that you're giving the gift to. And when you think about it, that's really all about what gift giving is about. It's not really about a reflection of you, the gift giver. It's about a reflection of your thoughts towards the person to whom you're gifting. And so the gift should, in fact, reflect that feeling. Now, I have thought a lot about rating scales over the past 12 years that I've been talking about chocolate professionally. And they range from very technical scales, which require a calculator in order to be able to rate a chocolate, to very personal scales. And what I'd like to suggest is that you sort of think about chocolate along a very, very personal scale. And I have one, which is 1 to 4, that you might want to consider adapting to your own personal thoughts about the matter. Now, a chocolate that is rated 4 is a desert island chocolate. This is a chocolate that you always want to have on your shelf, is a chocolate you never want to be without, and it is a chocolate that you would think twice about sharing with someone else. It's like, oh, this is for me. I don't necessarily know that I want to share any of this with you. But it is, in fact, the chocolate that you would give when you want to impress somebody. You'd want to give it to your boss. You want to give it to somebody who is an important figure in your life and to tell them, you know, this is something that I find special, and I hope that you're going to find it special as well. Now, all the way down at 1 is I would never buy this chocolate. If somebody gave me this chocolate, I wouldn't eat it, and I would think twice about giving this chocolate to someone that I know and like, and I would only reserve it for somebody whose opinions I really didn't care about. All right, so, you know, if this is a chocolate you wouldn't want to buy, and it's a chocolate you wouldn't want to eat, would you really want to give it to someone you know and like? Maybe not. So on a 2 to 3 scale, you sort of get the idea. On a 3, you know, this is a chocolate that I really like. You know, it's not necessarily one which is important to my day-to-day existence. I don't need to have around all the time. But it is something that I would, in fact, if I would give to somebody. And as a matter of fact, I would give it to people who were important to me. And in number two, it's a chocolate that, well, this is not a chocolate that I would buy, but if it was a chocolate that was gifted to me, I might not eat it, but it's not really so horrendous that I wouldn't feel bad about gifting it to someone else. And so when you think about chocolate that way, you can say very, very clearly, if I went into a store and I wouldn't buy this chocolate for myself, and I wouldn't eat it, even if somebody gave it to me, why would I want it gifted to somebody whose opinion mattered to me? And the answer is, you shouldn't. And ideally, you should never actually gift a chocolate that you have never tasted yourself, because you don't have any idea, as a matter of fact, what it is that you're gifting. And now take a look at the bottom of the box, too. If the ingredients list on the bottom of the box runs on like a run-on sentence out of a romantic novel, 200 or 300 words, and it doesn't look like there's any punctuation in there, and you don't recognize what a lot of the words are, or it appears that some of those words are things that don't really belong in food, then of course, this is something you wouldn't want to give to anybody whose opinion that you matter. But also take a look at the Best Buy date, right? If there is a Best Buy date and it looks like that date is 3 months or 6 months or 9 months out in the future, you also want to think about it. You walked into a store, the box was pretty much stored at room temperature, and it's got a shelf life of 3 to 6 months going out forward. Maybe not the kind of thing you want to buy for somebody. There is a direct correlation between freshness and quality. And you want to be able to respect that direct correlation. Something that was made the day before yesterday, you buy it today, and then you give it to somebody for consumption tomorrow, is going to have a very different experience than something that was made in some unknown factory 7 months ago, sat in a warehouse for 3 months, was shipped on some truck somewhere and shipped stored in a back room for several weeks or several months before it made it to the shelf. Probably not the highest kind of quality that you can think of, but it will be fairly cheap, right? There is that trade-off between quality and perception of perception of freshness. The fresher it is, the higher quality is going to be perceived. But also, there is a cost associated with it. In order to be able to lengthen shelf life, we need to think about ingredients that are going to be less expensive, it turns out, in the long run. So when you walk into a store and you are totally confused about what it is that you want to buy, you've never been in the store before, you are overwhelmed by the number of choices that there are, then how do you go about finding what it is that you want to buy? How do you know? Well, when you think about it, first is that if you want to go buy a specialty wine or a good wine that you're going to gift, you really don't want to go to a specialty store, a store that specializes in wine. You're not going to go to the grocery store or the drugstore, even though the grocery store or the drugstore in many states, not in New York, but in many states, will sell wine. That's not the place you go because, in general, they're not known for carrying high-quality products. And the same thing is true in chocolate. If you're looking to buy a quality chocolate, you want to go to some place which specializes in selling quality chocolate. If you're going to go to the drugstore or the grocery store, chances are you're not going to get a high quality product. Although there are some very high quality specialty food stores that do stock a number of high quality brands, in general, if you're looking to impress, that's not the place you're going to go. So you're going to walk into the store and you're going to go, what do I want to buy? Hopefully you'll be able to find somebody who's knowledgeable and you can say, hey, what do you got that's fresh? And what you want to know is what came in the day before, not necessarily what was put out fresh in the case, but if you got something in the back that like just came in, right? You're looking for something that is fresh. Ask them, another way to ask this question is, what is the most popular piece and what turns over a lot? What do people who walk into the store, what do they buy a lot of? Not only is it a popular piece, which probably means it's a well-made piece, but chances are whatever is sitting in the case has also been refreshed fairly recently. And so it's likely to be fresher than many of the other things. And that's what you want to look for. You can say, my personal preferences are I like caramels and I like things with nuts in them. What do you got that's got caramels and things with nuts? And they can show you what they've got that matches your own taste. And then you can also ask, what are your personal favorites? You can ask the person behind the counter what their favorites are. And another question that I like to ask, because I've been asking this question for the last 10 years in a sort of professional sense, is I say, if I had to form an impression of your company, you know, and this is a question that, you know, I get to ask the chocolate makers, the confectioners, more than the counter help generally. But if I had to form an impression of your company from just three or four different pieces, what three or four different pieces do you think best represents your company's work? And that asking those questions will give you an idea about, right, which chocolates to buy, which chocolates are freshest, which chocolates are most popular, which chocolates best represent the maker's point of view, which chocolates are ones that you like, right? Very, very simple questions that will help you hone in on the things that might make better gifts. Now, another thing to consider is the person you're gifting to, I mean, which makes an enormous amount of sense. Now, if the person you're gifting to is not really a very adventurous eater, I mean, you're not going to go take them, or when they go to sushi, they only buy cooked stuff, right? They're not interested in trying ika or anything vaguely related to blowfish or, you know, anything which is sort of out there in terms of weirdness, then you probably don't want to go buy them adventurous chocolates. I mean, if you know they're not a hot food fan, you know, then don't buy them a chocolate that's got ghost peppers in it, even though you like them. I mean, if you know that they're, you know, sort of middle of the road kind of flavor profile kind of person, then buy them chocolate that is going to appeal to their tastes. And that makes an enormous amount of sense, again, because what you're doing is you're gifting for them, not gifting for you. Another thing to think about when you're doing this is, especially if you're not, this is a new relationship, or you're not really understand, or if you don't really understand what the person likes in terms of the food, is to buy things that tell a little story about yourself. You know, I went into the store, I asked them about X, Y, and Z, and I remembered some sort of experience that came out of my childhood about this kind of flavor, and so I'm buying you, so I got you this chocolate, because this chocolate reminded me, I tasted one in the store, it was fabulous, it, you know, transported me back to the time when I was 11, and I had this really great feeling and experience, and I wanted to share that feeling and experience with you. I mean, there's, I don't think any other better way to take advantage of what chocolate is and does. I mean, it's something which is designed, it seems designed by nature. It's something that's created to give us pleasure. It's something that makes us feel good, not only in consuming it ourselves, but sharing it with other people. And what better way to try to create a connection with somebody with chocolate than to be able to tell this wonderful little story about the chocolate. And I can assure you that a two-piece box, which is picked with care, right, that reflects not only your experiences and your interest in chocolate and in the other person, and that shows that you've been paying attention to the other person. That little two-piece box for which you've invested a part of yourself and you've invested some time in selecting is going to be more valuable, or I think better received, probably a better way of thinking about it, is going to be better received by the person to whom you're gifting than that 24-piece box of chocolate and that bright gold wrapper that everybody knows that pretty much shows you weren't thinking at all. You just walk into the store, said, ooh, I need to get this person something. Oh, that's a shiny box that they will recognize. I'm going to go get the shiny box that they'll recognize and hope that works for them. And I'm going to suggest that that's not what it is that you want to do. Food, I mean, is a powerful way of making connections. Chocolate is a fabulous way of reinforcing them, right? And showing that you paid attention, showing that you know something about the person to whom you're gifting, is probably one of the most interesting and most important ways this holiday season, or any holiday season, or for any holiday. I mean, it's a little hard to do for Halloween, I think, because you don't know, for the most part, you don't know to whom you're gifting the chocolate, just some random person walking at your front door. But for most of the other holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving or Hanukkah, which does not normally have a tradition of gifting high-quality chocolate, but there's no reason not to start right now, this season, giving the best quality chocolate for Hanukkah that you can, whether it's Kwanzaa, Christmas, certainly. We got Valentine's Day coming up, Mother's Day, Easter, all big holidays for chocolate and gifting in the world. And just sit back for a moment saying, wow, this is a chocolate that I really like. right? And it transports me somewhere. And what I want to do is I want to share that experience with the people that I like or the people that I love or the people who are important in my life one way or another. And if you think about chocolate that way, not only do I think you'll feel better about the chocolate that you're gifting, but people will appreciate a great deal more the chocolate that they receive from you. Doesn't have to be a lot. It just has to be really, really good, really, really fresh, and the choices carefully considered. So we're going to take a short break right now from talking about how to gift chocolate. And when we return from Straight from the Source on Heritage Radio Network, I'm going to share some tips on how to store chocolate properly.
You're listening to Blessed Memory by Blind Benny on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. We're committed to making wholesome, delicious, and sustainably produced heritage foods available to all Americans. In doing so, we will foster the link between sustainable land use, small-scale food production, and preservation of the foods of past generations for future generations. For more information and to order today, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Clay Gordon, creator and moderator of thechocolatelife.com and author of the IACP finalist book, Discover Chocolate. Today, I'm talking about chocolate and the holidays, all of the holidays. And before the break, I was talking about how to gift chocolate, and now it's time to talk about storing chocolate. Now, I joke about this a lot. People ask me this question, what's the best way, what's the best place to store chocolate? I was in Chicago last weekend for the Chicago Fine Chocolate Festival, and one of the local radio stations had a program where a listener wrote in and said, ooh, what's the best way to store chocolate? And they came to me, and on the show floor, they interviewed me and said, what's the best way to store chocolate? And this is a question that gets asked time and time and time again. And I've come back and I've decided that the best way and the best place to store chocolate is in your mouth. You want to have it in your mouth and you want to be able to consume it as quickly as you possibly can. But that doesn't really solve the problem for a lot of people. They've said, okay, well, I've just found out that I've got like 17 pounds of chocolate from Halloween. And I want to figure out how to make that chocolate last. Or I've got 17 pounds of candy from Halloween. And I want to figure out how to make that last through, I don't know, Memorial Day or something like that, sometime way off in the future. And my answer to that question is you really don't. The chocolate is generally, it's candy. It's not very good quality. It may be some of your favorites. But in general, I mean, all of that stuff, the quicker you eat it, the better. The sooner you eat it, the better. I know that some people like to put some of their candies in the freezer. And the only person who recommends that really is your dentist. Chocolate or candies that get very hard in the freezer are not very good for your dental work, are responsible for chipping and breaking a lot of teeth every year. So I can't really condone the practice of putting chocolate bars of any kind or candy bars of any kind into the freezer. I mean, you're welcome to go about do it. It will preserve the bars for a long period of time, but it's not the best way to make sure that it lasts. What I would recommend you do is sort through all of your Halloween candy. Take out the stuff you know you're not going to eat. I mean, I'm not particularly a fan of lots of sour candies and lots of sugar-coated candies. And so things like that, I'm just going to get rid of. I'm not gonna eat. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to find somebody else who likes them. I'm going to go look at the chocolate bars, for the most part, that are left behind. And I'm going to do a little bit of triage on them. I'm going to go, again, these are my favorites. I like these a lot. And, you know, I want to share a little secret, which is that every single person I know who's in the high-end chocolate business has a secret chocolate obsession. They have this chocolate, or one or more, that, you know, they in childhood or before they got into it professionally, it's a candy bar that they really, really love. And I got to tell you, when it comes to candy and I'm looking through Halloween candy, there are two things that, you know, I'm looking for. Number one of them is a Butterfinger. And number two is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And if I get a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, a couple of them, right, and I steal them out of my daughter's candy bag, not too many, so she doesn't really notice that I've taken them, because that would not be a good thing, because she likes Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, not so much Butterfingers. But, you know, I'm not into the other thing. So if I sort of get rid of them or sort of put them on a lower level, I'm not really all that hurt by it. So what I'm going to do, however, is I'm going to put them in a place which is about room temperature. And about room temperature means somewhere between 68 and 72 degrees. And what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to keep them at that temperature without major swings. So I don't want it to get too hot. I don't want it to get too cold. So putting it in a closet above the radiator, not a good idea. In general, putting it on an outside, in an outside room where the temperature goes up and down and up and down and up and down all the time is not a good thing. What will happen is that the chocolate will begin to melt. And if it starts melting quickly, a little bit of the cocoa butter will come to the surface. And as it cools down, that cocoa butter will remain on the surface and it will create something which is called cocoa butter bloom. Right, that's a sort of grayish film on the outside of chocolates and sitting around too long. This happens often enough, right, and the temperature gets warm enough, that will start to go rancid. Although cocoa butter is a very, very stable fat, if there are other fats, nuts and things like that, they can also can contribute to the things going slightly flat and stale and not tasting very good. So try to keep the temperature as close to room temperature as you possible and try to keep the chocolate from experiencing major changes in temperature. And this is not just Halloween candy. It's all the kinds of chocolate that you've got. Now, people say, ooh, can I put it in the refrigerator? And the answer is, yeah, you can put it in the refrigerator. In general, that's not the desired route to go. What I'm suggesting here is that, you know, rather than going out and buying lots of chocolate and trying to make a big bag or a big box last as long as possible, what you should do is go out and buy smaller amounts of chocolate on a regular basis. I joke that the relationship you want to have with your confectioner or chocolatier is the relationship your grandmother wanted to have with her butcher, which is you wanted to walk into the store and the person behind the counter, whether it's the butcher counter or the candy counter, recognizes you and says, hey, how you doing? And you go, hey, what's new? What's good? What's fresh? What's up today? And they, because you've been buying from them for a long period of time, going, you know, I think you'll like the raspberry caramels today. They just came out. They're especially good today. Or, you know, the salted caramels, or, you know, they know you don't like, you know, the very, very hot stuff. So they're not going to recommend it to you. So you can go in there and you can get something which was made today. Establishing that relationship, which is part about buying and gifting chocolate, is an attitude also towards storing chocolate. The more you have as an attitude is, I want to buy large quantities of cheap chocolate and figure out a way to store it so I can, quote unquote, take one piece out every day and savor it. Right, it's that savoring concept which people can't get over. The best way to savor chocolate is to buy fresh chocolate, not to figure out a way to take an enormous quantity of chocolate and make it last as long as you possibly can. Right. So if you're going to put things in the refrigerator, it works better for bars than it does for bonbons or truffles or chocolates that are filled, but it certainly will work for everything. There are two things you need to worry about. And actually, they come down to one thing, which is you need to worry about moisture. You need to worry about moisture condensing on the outside of the chocolate. And you need to worry about that moisture condensing on the chocolate when the chocolate cools down, and then again when the chocolate warms up. So if you take the box of chocolate and just put it into the back of the fridge, and then when you want a piece, pull a piece out, you take the box out of the fridge, open it up, pull a piece out, then close the box and put it back in the fridge. What you're doing is you're creating the conditions which is going to reduce the life of the chocolate its fastest, right? You're opening it up, right? You haven't protected the box first from any odors that might be in the refrigerator. So if you've got some onion, you've got some garlic, you've got something which is really strong smelling in the refrigerator, then if you haven't protected the box of chocolate, that aroma has the possibility of penetrating the box of chocolate and getting into the chocolate itself. And last time I tried it, having onion flavored caramels is not my favorite thing. I do like garlic, I do like onions, but for the most part, I want them to be a considered part of my chocolate, not something that accidentally happens as a matter of science in my refrigerator. So opening up the box, right, if there's any humidity, any moisture in the kitchen, when you open and close the box, that moisture will get onto the chocolates. And when you put it back in the fridge, it will condense on the chocolates. And when water condenses on chocolate, what happens is that it can pull the sugar out of the suspension and form a second kind of bloom, which is called sugar bloom. And this is sugar. This is when you get sugar crystals on the outside of your chocolate, and it creates a crunchy texture on the outside of the chocolate. You can lick the outside, and it tastes sweet. But what also happens is it changes the chocolate inside, the texture of the chocolate, and makes it crumbly, and you don't get that nice soft mouthfeel anymore. So sugar bloom is something you want to avoid at all costs. And one of the ways to do that, in fact, the recommended way to do that is to, if you've got a big box of chocolate or a chocolate bar, is to break that box out or the bar down into serving-sized quantities. So what you want to do is you want to put whatever you think is a serving, two or three pieces or a quarter of a bar, whatever that is, and you want to put it in a plastic bag. And you want to seal that plastic bag and get as much moisture out of that plastic bag as you possibly can and let it sit at room temperature. And hopefully no condensation will form on the inside. If a little bit does, you can put a little paper, a paper towel maybe in there for a little while to absorb the moisture, then pull the towel out quickly. You can then put it in the refrigerator. All right, and you let the refrigerator, it doesn't matter, it's in a plastic bag. Of course, if you have a bunch of plastic bags and a heavier weight plastic bag, that's the best in terms of preserving it from odors that might be in the refrigerator. But then when you want to have some chocolate, you open up the bag, pull out one serving of whatever chocolate that you want to eat, and put it on the counter. And now this is where you have to exercise a little bit of restraint. What you need to do is you need to wait until that chocolate warms up to room temperature. So if it's in your fridge at 39 Fahrenheit, you need to wait until it warms up until 68. And this is with room temperature, whatever that's set at. And you want to have that to happen naturally. You don't want to put it by anything which is in fact warm, you know, because that will melt the chocolate. You want to put it by just out on the room temperature, out on the counter, and let it come to room temperature at its own pace. You can certainly open it up before it is in fact room temperature. You run the risk of, okay, moisture condensing on it, and it looks like beads of dew on the outside of a glass on the top of the chocolate. If you eat it, if you're going to eat it right away, it's, you know, it's really no big deal. It's not going to draw the sugar out of the chocolate very, very quickly. But what will happen is that the chocolate is cold. And if chocolate is cold, it just doesn't taste as good. It takes longer for the chocolate to melt. The longer it takes for the chocolate to melt, the longer it takes for the flavors and aromas in the chocolate to get to your nose and to your taste buds. And so it just doesn't taste as good. So exercising restraint when you pull the chocolate out of the refrigerator is a very good thing, right? Maybe an hour. That's a safe rule of thumb for pulling a small amount of chocolate out of the fridge and letting it sit at room temperature before it's ready to eat. Now, if you really do want to put things in the freezer because you want to store them for a long time, what you want to do is you want to take the individually wrapped pieces that you've put in the refrigerator, put them into one or more heavyweight freezer bags, and then put those freezer bags, wrapped chocolates, into the freezer. Right? So you don't want to put lightweight sandwich bag, plastic bags, directly in the freezer. Right, they're not going to provide enough protection. But take the sandwich weight bags, put them into heavier freezer weight bags, and then put those freezer weight bags in the freezer. And now, when you want to go eat the chocolate, you have two steps. You take the chocolate out of the freezer that you want to eat. You put it in the refrigerator overnight. Take it out at 10 o'clock at night. All right, put the chocolate in the fridge. It'll be there all day. It'll warm up slowly to refrigerator temperature. Right, and then you take it out of the refrigerator and you put it on the counter and let another hour go by before you dive into the chocolate. I know it requires a lot of forethought and a lot of attention, but if you've sort of bought into the notion that what you want to do is, I found a lot of chocolate very cheaply, I want to be able to store that chocolate, I want to be able to quote-unquote savor it over the course of several weeks or several months, which is not something I recommend. I do recommend putting together a relationship, finding a local confectioner or chocolatier, walking into their store on a daily or a weekly basis and saying, hey, what do you got that's good? This is what I like. What do you got? That is what I think of when I think of savoring chocolate, not pulling something out of the freezer that I got 6 or 7 months ago. And it's been sitting there until I sort of have a hankering for something and it comes out of the fridge. And, you know, when you have really, really good modern freezing techniques, like you put this stuff in a blast chiller and you can get it really cold really fast, or the chocolate, the recipe for the chocolate has been designed to be frozen, then it's very hard to tell the difference. There are many European companies whose names I won't mention today, whose chocolates are available in the United States, who freeze their chocolates. And it's very difficult to tell, unless you actually go to Paris and have the stuff at the shop that they make fresh. It's very difficult to tell what is in fact fresh and what is in fact been frozen. But that requires, you know, extremely good technology and really thinking about the recipes in order to be able to survive the freezing process without any sort of identifiable change. These are not things that most of us have at home. And so while it is possible to refrigerate and freeze chocolate, it's not something that I recommend, but you can follow the guidelines that I gave you, and you can extend the life of your chocolate for weeks or for months if that's what you want to do. So today I've been talking about chocolate and the holidays, about how to gift chocolate and how to store chocolate. I want to thank Jack Inslee for engineering today's show and thank the rest of the Heritage Foods USA and Heritage Radio Network teams for their hard work building, maintaining, and growing HRN. Straight from the Source comes to you live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, or go to the heritageradionetwork.org website and looking for Straight from the Source, clicking on the link and downloading or streaming any episode. If you're not already a member of HRN, please join me in supporting their efforts. If you have questions you'd like to hear answered on future programs, call us at 718-497-2128, email the show at info@heritageradionetwork.org, or contact me through thechocolatelife.com. And as always, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.